We do have a thought on our heart, and I'm sure it'll be very familiar reading tonight. Most of the Bible should be very familiar reading, but it'll come from Genesis chapter 3. And we'll start our reading, I guess, in the 14th verse. Genesis chapter 3 and the 14th verse. And it says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And it says, "And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." And it says, "Unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And Adam said, Adam also, and unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And it says, And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." And our thought tonight would be the remedy for sin. And we know that this is probably some very familiar reading for you tonight. Each of us have heard about the fall of man and how that sin entered into the world. And I want to make this clear tonight that I believe that sin did not enter into the world when Eve ate of the fruit of the tree. I believe that sin entered in when Adam ate of the tree, of the fruit of the tree, because God made this commandment. He made this rule with Adam. He didn't make it with Eve. He didn't make it with anybody else. He made it with Adam that you could not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So the moment that he even thought about it, the moment that he ate of it, sin entered into the world. And God created this place called Eden. And I believe that of all places on this side of eternity, it was the most beautiful place that there had ever been. Nothing there was in want. Everything was beautiful. Everything was just exactly the way that it needed to be. But here comes this serpent. And I want you to know the Bible says that he was a beguiling serpent. He knew exactly who he needed to go to in order to get this deed done. He knew exactly who he was going to get Eve to eat this fruit. And I believe he went to her and he came with enticing words. And he probably looked real good. And he told her, he said, "You can eat of that the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. And surely nothing will happen to thee if you eat of it." And she went over there, and no doubt the tree looked real good, and the fruit that hung upon it, it looked real good. And I want you to know tonight that sin looks really good to this world. Sin looks really good to all of us tonight. Those that have been saved by the grace of God, I want you to know tonight that it doesn't look as good to us as it does the rest of the world, or at least it shouldn't. But I want you to know that sin entered in here because of what happened between Eve and Adam and this serpent. And here comes the Lord walking through the garden. And as he came through, Adam and Eve were naked. They didn't have anything clothing them, but their eyes had been open to what was taking place. And then I want you to know that Adam and Eve began to cover themselves of their nakedness. And what happened was, is God comes walking through the garden and he notices that Adam and Eve had something covering them that had never been there before. There was no reason for them to be covered because they didn't see the things of the flesh. They didn't know of those things. But the moment that they ate of this tree of knowledge and of good and evil, their eyes were open to sin.
And I want you to know tonight that all of us are sinners. And I want you to know, I don't know who this message is for, lost or saved. It really comes down to just wherever it falls tonight. But I want you to know that just because sin entered into the world, and I believe that Eden was done away with, I believe if you were to go to the spot on the map where Eden was today, you wouldn't find this beautiful garden that there is now. You would probably find a deserted desert place where God took every form of life there was away. But I want you to know tonight that that's exactly what sin does to this world. It destroys everything in its path. That's just exactly what sin does. But I want you to know tonight that those of us that have been saved by the grace of God, we have tasted of the remedy of that sin. We know about that remedy of sin because we have tasted of it. And I want you to realize tonight about this tree of life. About this tree of life and what it means. And this came to us the other night. And I don't guess I'd ever really given it much thought as I read through this. But it talks about the tree of life. And it says the only way that there is remedy for sin is through the tree of life. The only hope for this world is Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven by which a man must be saved except through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other name by which a man must be saved. But it says in the 22nd verse, and it says, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden a cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." And I want to make mention tonight of one of those cherubims and what it means. What they are, and I want you to think back, and we're going to turn over to the book of Exodus, in the 25th chapter, the book of Exodus in the 25th chapter. And we're going to start with the 17th verse tonight, and maybe this will be a little different of a sermon than I preach normally. I don't know. I don't really get to listen to myself very much, so you all would probably know better than I would about those types of things. But I want you to understand what the tree of life is tonight, because I want you to know and understand the only remedy for sin is from the tree of life. That's the only remedy that there ever will be. There's no other way that people can be saved tonight. The 25th chapter of the book of Exodus and the 17th verse. And it says, "And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold of beaten work, shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And make 1 cherub on the other one end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubim on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And their faces shall look one to another toward the mercy seat, shall the faces of the cherubim be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark shalt thou put the testimony that I shall give thee. And it says, And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from above the 2 cherubim, which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I shall give unto thee in commandment unto the children of Israel." And I want you to know and understand tonight what these cherubims are. They encompass the mercy seat. And I want you to think about tonight when you got saved, if you've been saved by the grace of God. And I want you to think about where you got saved. You know, where God saves a soul, and it says that these cherubims and this flaming sword, they turn every which way to guard the tree of life. But I want you to think about these cherubims and their arcs of their wings and what it makes. It says that the mercy seat is the place that God meets with people. It's the place that God communes with people. It's the place that God's Spirit dwells. It's the place that God talks to people. This ark that they're making here, he describes in very detailed fashion about this mercy seat that must be there. I want you to know and understand tonight this guarding of the tree of life. In order for someone to be saved, this flaming sword that it talks about. What is the flaming sword? Let's go over into the book of Romans, I believe. I don't believe it's in the book of Romans. It's in the book of Hebrews. And it talks about in the first chapter of the book of Hebrews. And it says, "And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire." And I want you to know tonight that God's ministers, with the help of the Holy Spirit and the book of God, the Holy Bible, the sword of God, is that flaming sword that turns every which way, that guards the tree of life. The preaching of the cross, the preaching of God's holy death that He took upon the cross, that is the way, the truth, and the life. It tells us over in the book of John, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Except a man come by me, he cannot get to the Father. Except a man, a God-called preacher, preach the true plan of salvation, this world will not know the way to the tree of life." You see, the remedy of sin is very easy tonight to understand. We live in a world that complicates everything. They want to put their spin on everything. They want to make it seem so hard when it's really so easy, people say. And they'll come to these big churches and they'll say, "If you'll just step down here and accept Christ, you'll be saved." Oh, no, no, no. People have put their easy believism on things. And I want you to know that maybe the reason for this sermon tonight is that we guard the tree of life. That we don't just, and I'm going to use this word, we don't just accept everything that comes along to be the truth. Because I want you to know and understand tonight, the way of the tree of life is the only good thing this world has. The only thing that this world truly has is the way of the tree of life. It's the most precious thing that there ever has been. You see, God's churches, they must guard against all of these things. They've got to be on guard against the devil and all of his workers, because there are people today that would like to come in here and deceive people from this very pulpit. They'd like to come in here and they'd like to tell you that all you have to do is live good. All you have to do is be baptized, but that's not the remedy for sin. You see, this mercy seat that I was telling you about tonight, it's a place where God communes with people. And I want you to think back tonight where you got saved. I want you to think back to the exact place. If you have a time and a place, God can let you know about it. I want you to go back to your mercy seat where God first communed with you. You know, it didn't have. We call this sometime, and I guess maybe it kind of shocked me the other night, yesterday, as we were sitting at the family reunion and we began to talk about the mercy seat. And I'd never heard the front mourner's bench be called a mercy seat. I'd always heard it called a mourner's bench or something of that nature. I'd never heard anybody say the mercy seat. But they were talking about that at lunch yesterday. It kind of made my ears perk up and say, that goes along with something I may have to preach on tomorrow night. But whether it was at an old-time altar, my spot was on the front bench at Pleasant Hill. Brother Collins may have been somewhere else. I don't know expressly off the top of my head where he said it was. My mom got saved at the end of an altar there at Pleasant Hill. I've heard Sister Michaela tell about her testimony. I've heard many of you tonight tell about places that God has reached down and saved your soul. I want you to know and understand tonight that that mercy seat, while it may not have cherubims over it, when you touch the Master, you went through that mercy seat. You have went through that flaming sword of that's turned every which way. It's turned every way to guard the tree of life. Oh, but when you get saved, God lets you have access to it. Oh, when you get saved, you have access to the tree of life. From it is the well of ever springing, the well of water, the well that flows from the throne of God. It's the tree of life tonight. You know, as I thought about this, you know, I thought about the word atonement. You know, and sometimes they would sprinkle blood on the mercy seat. You know, they would do that. What is atonement? It's a covering of our sins. You know, every year in the Old Testament, they would have to have a day of atonement, a national covering for the sins of that country. They would have to do this every single year. But you know, this plan, this way, and I want you to know the plan of salvation has never changed. It has always been that a man must come through and by the blood of Jesus Christ and have faith that he would die for you. And our plan of salvation is that he has died for us and that we believe that he's died for us. It's the same concept. It has not changed. I don't want you to believe tonight that the plan of salvation has changed. Because it's the same yesterday, today, and bless our hearts if the world stands another 3,000 years. 3,000 years from today, the blood will still have to be taught. The way of the tree of life still must be taught. It still has to go out because that's the only way anybody will ever be saved. It's that same way. It has not changed. But they would have to have the Day of Atonement. And I want you to realize that they would take their sacrifices and they would, there were goats. There was one goat that was slain, and there was a scapegoat that they had, and they would release it and drive it into the wilderness. But I want you to realize tonight, this Day of Atonement, we don't have to go every year and take our bulls and our goats and our rams and all of these things, and we don't have to slay them for our sins. We don't have to offer those things up because there was one who came who offered his blood sacrifice for this entire world. He came as a lamb slain before the foundations of this world. He took the cross of Calvary. And I want you to think about what the cross is made of. What's it made of? It's made of wood. Wood comes from trees. I want you to know and understand tonight that our Lord and Savior spread His blood on a tree of life. The tree that stood there on the hill of Golgotha. The tree that was on Calvary's hill. And I love the name of this church, Mount Calvary, because of the place that Mount Calvary is. It's a special place because that is where the blood was ran down, the true sacrifice. We don't have to today take these blood sacrifices for our atonement anymore because God has already made the way for us. That tree of life is free for every man, boy, woman, or girl that will truly repent of their sins and be saved. And I'm thankful for that tonight. I'm thankful that every year I don't have to go before the priests and I don't have to ask them to do it for me. I want you to realize tonight that my access to that mercy seat were those cherubims. And I want you to realize tonight this place that it's talking about. Oh, and it talks about communes. Do you remember when the Lord saved your soul? The hurt and the agony and the anguish that was inside of you. You know, I believe tonight that people have to get in deep conviction before they're saved. I believe that without it, people wouldn't know they were lost. And if they stayed in that shape, well, they would feel they're all right. I believe that when God gets a hold of a lost person, they'll do something about it. But I want you to think about that night that God saved your soul. And I want you to go back and I want you to think about the feelings and the hurt that was inside of you. And I want you to think about that very moment that God communed with your heart. Oh, and the sweet spirit that was there when God made you a new creature in Him. Oh, have you ever been to the doctor and you've been just as sick as you can be? And you have just tried everything you know to try. If you're anything like me, you will spend a month not going to a doctor feeling just as awful as you can, thinking that you can try just waiting it out, letting the sickness pass. And I'm one that likes to do that because I would rather take a beating or a hammer to the head and have to go sit in a doctor's office. And then when you get in the doctor's office, the doctor wants to make you sit there a little bit longer and wait it out a little while longer. But you know, when you're sick and you're just in hurt and you want something, and then finally, you know, after a while, I just break down and I just go because I'm just at my rope's end. I've had all I can take. I've had all I want of being sick. So I'm willing to do just about anything to make myself feel better. And you'll go in the doctor's office and they'll prescribe this, 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 and that, and that. They'll say, if you'll take all of this, well, you'll feel better in such and such days. Well, I want you to know and understand tonight that people are sin-sick creatures. Because of what Adam did in the Garden of Eden, because of his transgression, if he had just stayed there, and I believe that God gives us free will, and I believe he knew very well that Adam was going to take that tree and eat of that fruit. I believe he knew very well that he was going to do it because I believe the plan of salvation was in place long before this ever came to be. But I think about Adam, if he had just not eaten of that fruit and he'd have just kept himself clean, we would all be able to enjoy the Garden of Eden. And I want you to think about tonight the sin just immediately coming in the world. You know, because of Adam, We are sinners by nature. Job says that we're a few days and we're full of trouble. We come into this world speaking lies, spewing hate. People don't like to hear this, but there are some little babies that begin to sin just immediately because they're crying for attention. They're already sinning. They're already lying. There's nothing wrong with them, but they're already sinning. We come into this world as sinners. And I don't want you to think tonight that I'm just calling you a dirty, wretched sinner because, well, while you are, when you've been saved by the grace of God, you've been made cleaned up. You know, I think about the remedy for sin, and people want to try all of these things. I heard somebody tell me one time that all that they did, and I asked them, I said, where'd you get saved? And they said, well, I was baptized. Baptism wouldn't save anybody. People say, well, Jesus Christ was baptized for his salvation. Oh, no, he wasn't, because he was sinless. He had no reason to be saved. He was baptized to show that each and every one of us should be baptized into the church. God said that that was his son in whom he is well pleased when he was baptized. Baptism wouldn't even wipe the dirt off of you. You know, I think about the day that I was baptized, and he really believed that baptism saved him. He thought that that was a remedy for sin. He thought that would take his sins away. But you and I know that even a good bath won't do anything for you unless you have soap to do it with. What must take the sins of this world away? That is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Each and every one of us, when we go into the shower, we probably use Dawn, or I don't know if you use Dawn, it's probably dish detergent, but you may use Dove soap, whatever you use tonight. But you've got to have something to wash the dirt away. Oh, tonight, what washes the dirt away? The blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that it does. You know, it still works today. You know, people, as I told you, they're looking for all kinds of remedies. Mount Calvary, we have the remedy tonight. We have this true plan of salvation that we still teach. We're still telling the city of Nashville that ye must be born again. The same thing that God preached, Jesus Christ preached when he came into this world. Ye must be born again. You've got to be washed in the blood. You know, those cherubims and that flaming sword, they guard the way of the tree of life. Brothers and sisters, as we progress forth into this world, as we go forth as Mount Calvary Church, and as we go forth into fighting these battles that we're going to fight, and brothers and sisters, we're going to fight some. We're going to come in contact with people that aren't like we are. That they don't know about the true plan of salvation. They don't understand what it means to be broken to the point where you have no idea what to do. They don't understand that. They don't understand that you must repent of your sins, believe, put all of your trust in Him. And you say, well, why are you pointing to the altar? Because I want you to know and understand tonight, the only way people will get saved is through making an altar themselves. You know, this mercy seat. You know, I don't know how many of you were saved at an altar, a mourner's bench at the front of the church. You know, that spot physically doesn't matter. It doesn't. Because some of you may have been saved in a car. Some of you, I've heard of Brother Harvey Ambrose being saved in an airplane going across the United States. You know, it'd be really hard for him to pinpoint where he was saved. But I want you to know and understand the spot where God deals with your heart and makes it clean, that's your spot. And there's nobody in this world that can take it away. That mercy seat where God communes with His children. You know, I want to thank the Lord tonight personally and openly for still having access to the mercy seat. You know, I don't have to go back tonight to pray for my salvation. And if you've been saved, neither do you. You have direct access to the throne of Calvary. You have direct access to go to Christ anytime that you want to. That is a blessed, blessed addition to being saved. People today, they don't have that because they don't have the remedy to sin. You know, people today, they have become blinded and immune to sin. You know, I'm of firm belief that people today don't even see sin really for what it is. You know, the Supreme Court, you know, made this big decree. I'll call it a decree because I think they've tried to make it go as far and as wide as they can to let everybody know, hey, look, if you're a homosexual, you can get married. They say that, we don't. But they've made this decree, they've made this idea that it's okay. Brothers and sisters, it's wrong. It's sin. The Bible says it's sin, and therefore I believe it's sin. And you know what doesn't need to happen? We don't need to be accepting of it. Now, I'm not saying walk out into the street and start smacking them in the head with your Bibles, because I don't believe that. But brothers and sisters, we've got to take the remedy for this sin to them. We've got to guard what God stands for. We've got to guard our pulpits. You know, people tonight want to come in here and they want to tell us what we can preach and what we can't preach. But brothers and sisters, I want you to know tonight that we must guard the way of the tree of life. We cannot relax on the things that God stands for. Why? Because it's the remedy for sin. It's the remedy to make these hurts of these people go away. It's the remedy for every bad thing that there ever has been. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. Brothers and sisters, we have a lot of confusion in our world today. We do. We've got people today that say homosexuality is okay. And you've got us over here saying homosexuality is not okay. Brothers and sisters, God's not the author of confusion. His word, the flaming sword that helps guard the way of the tree of life, it still stands tonight. It is still the cornerstone of our beliefs. You know, people tonight, and I had someone tell me the other day, and they were of a different belief, and they were talking about how they had some additions to the Bible. They had more books than what I had, so they knew more. Brothers and sisters, this version of God's Bible, the King James Version book of the Bible, while it has its mistakes and it has its problems with it, brothers and sisters, I believe it's the closest thing to God's truly inspired Word of God that there is on the face of this earth. And I believe we still need to stand upon it. I told you, and I've preached on it many times, of Jeremiah, stand ye in the old paths and see. Brothers and sisters, we've got to stand in the old paths and see when other people say they won't stand in it. Brothers and sisters, we've got to guard the way of the tree of life. You know, because of sin, somebody had to die. There had to be a way back to the Father. Had to be a propitiation for you and I. Because when Adam sinned, this deal of every day them coming together and having these atoning sacrifices, it wouldn't last forever. It couldn't last. And I'm thankful that it didn't last. But there was no way that it could last. But somebody had to go, and they had to pay the ransom, the sacrifice, the blood sacrifice. But I believe it tells us over in the New Testament that the blood of bulls and goats, they would not last. They would not wipe away sins. They would not physically, spiritually do that for us. So there had to be something, because it said that they were cast out of this Garden of Eden. You know, they had to go work. You know, I believe in the Garden of Eden, they had it just as perfect as they could have it. They enjoyed just doing whatever they wanted to do. And it says that they had to till the ground from whence he was taken. That means that they had to go to work. It means they had to get out and do something. But as I told you, there had to be someone to go and die for our stead. Now, what do we preach tonight here at Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church? I've already told you most of it. We preach about a Savior who went to a cross. He took the weight of the world, the sins of the world upon Him, and they went with Him. And through Him, through His atoning sacrifice, through His perfect atoning sacrifice, that we must be saved. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, the blood of Christ makes all things new. I may have said this a few Sundays ago. I don't really know off the top of my head. I've preached in a few different churches since then, so some of those sermons, sometimes the thoughts start to run together a little bit. But I told you that the blood of Christ makes all things new. And I may have preached on this last Sunday night. But when God saves a soul, He makes it new inside. I don't know about the rest of y'all when you wash clothes, but have you ever taken a red sock or a red something and put it in with a washing machine full of white clothes? And you let it run through its cycle, and then what happens when it comes out? Those things are pink and look like little bitty peeps. They're not white. They're not red. They're a mixture of in between. The blood of Jesus Christ, and I want you to think about red blood. When it's applied to a sinner's heart,
It makes it white as snow. There's nothing else that could do that tonight. There's nothing else in this world that can make us whiter than snow, that can make us pure in our heart except the blood of Christ. When God drove Adam out, you know, I believe he knew, that life would be hard. Life's hard for us. Sin, because of sin, life's hard. But I'm thankful that there was a way made. I'm thankful for those that mercy seat. Have you thought back tonight where God saved your soul? Have you thought back to that place where God communed with you? And that flaming sword, the ministers that preach the true plan of salvation through His holy word. They keep the way of the tree of life. Brothers and sisters, you and not everybody here tonight is going to be a minister. Not all of you are going to preach God's word. That's just, God doesn't call everybody to preach. But everybody that's been saved by God's grace has a testimony to tell. They have something they can share with other people. We've got to keep the way of the tree of life. You know, the river of life that flows from the throne of God, it's pure. Brothers and sisters, in the Word of God tonight, God's churches, they still have to preach the true, unadulterated Word of Christ. There is no other way. He is the remedy for sin. And brothers and sisters, as long as I'm alive, and as long as the Lord keeps breath in my body, I plan on telling the world about this remedy for sin. The painkillers of this life won't do it. Antibiotics won't do it. Brothers and sisters, it's going to take something more than a prescription from an earthly doctor. What it takes tonight is it takes a prescription from the Holy God above. And you know what that is? It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And you don't have to go down to the pharmacy to get it. All you have to do is get your own mercy seat, kneel down before the Lord, and ask, believe, and trust that He will save you. Because if you will do those things, He'll save your soul. If you're sin sick tonight, we're going to stand in just a few moments of time and we're going to sing a song. You know, I don't know the hearts of anyone here. If you're here tonight and lost, I'd ask for you to consider your situation. Consider where you stand with the Lord. If you're sin sick, you need the remedy for sin tonight. If you've been saved by the grace of God, I just want you to continue to think about that mercy seat. That mercy seat has been just on my heart this week. It's been a place that I think about from time to time. And those that will get to come to the ordination next Saturday, you'll get to see my spot. You'll get to see that spot that you've seen me talk about so many times. But it's a sweet place. That's where I got my remedy for sin that night. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. Let's stand and sing tonight. Let's everybody just follow the Lord.